Good morning. Blessings, greetings to each of you this morning in the name of Jesus. It's good to be together. It's especially good to see each one here. Some that haven't been here for a bit, and also some of you that have been traveling. Welcome back home. We're looking forward to learning from the Lord again this morning. May the Lord, His name be honored and glorified. And that can be a reality as we look into God's Word. That can happen. This morning I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 90 as an introduction. If you're taking notes this morning, the title of the message is, Am I Building on the Foundation? And I'd like to just read through the book of Psalms, or the chapter, Psalms 90. But as you're turning there, some of the children tell me this morning, what's unique about today? There's something special about today. Haven't had one of these for a while. Do you know what's different about today? Colt, do you know what's different about today? What's that? All right, Sunday. We haven't had one of these for a whole week, right? That's a special day. I like Sundays. Is there another reason that today is special? That's good. Anyone else? What's special? Why is today a special Sunday? Somebody tell me. A lot of you know. Anybody, what's special about today? There's something unique about today.
Last Sunday of the year.
All right, the last Sunday of the year. It's also the last Sunday of what? A decade. We're turning from 2019 to 2020. How many of you here remember Y2K? Personally, been there, remember it. All right, some of us do. You know what I thought was interesting? I have a little it's kind of like a calendar of our church family here, and at the top it calculates, has all the birthdays in it, and it calculates our age. And I just glanced at it. You know what our average age is here? It's 21.1. You know what that means? That means that there's probably likely over half of us here that don't remember anything about the year 2000 or the turn of the millennium. Amazing how time just keeps moving on, What else happens at the turn of the year? There's something else. When we think of a new year, it's kind of a popular thing. We think about it, a lot of people think about this particular thing. Any guesses? Very good, John. Taking inventory. I didn't think of that, but that's an important thing, and that'd be a message in itself. That's good. It's not what I had in mind, but that's a good point. New Year's resolutions. Any of those cross your mind? This year, it's going to be a little different. New Year's resolutions, often scoffed at and belittled. A desire to grow in holiness and obedience is not only a good idea, it's a command. I'm here to promote New Year's resolutions. I think it's a great thing. It's a good thing to take inventory of our lives, look at where we are, look at where we are going, where we're pointed to, the path that we're on, and do we need to make some adjustments? New Year's resolutions. New Year's resolutions are not something to scoff at or belittle. They're a sign of a desire to do better, to be better, to grow, and to improve. And one of the reasons that New Year's resolutions are often scoffed at, and I take this, I borrow this from an article in the U.S. News in December of 2015. published an article that stated that 80% of New Year's resolutions will never follow through. Great idea. Really wanted to do that, but it just didn't happen. I won't ask for a raise of hands if you always had your New Year's resolutions come to fruition or not. But there's a lot of times when New Year's resolutions are not followed through. Most of humanity desires to improve. They want things to be different. They desire change, and they want a better way. My heart goes out to people that desire something better and are longing for something different, but it just seems like those things just drift out of reach. Reminds me of a little incident that happened to me. I was at a friend's place when I was a teenager, and it was in the summertime. For some reason, we were swimming in a pond, and someone threw a little life jacket, or I forget what it was. It might have been a ball. It was laying just out in the water, and I was going to get it. And I swam out to it, and every time I reached for it, I could touch it, but a little wave, and it just kept going. So I swam a little further. And after a while, I realized that I'm as far out as I'm just about in trouble if I can't swim the whole way across. And I swam and pushed it the whole way across the pond till I got to the other side. I don't think I'll ever remember that or forget that feeling. And I think that's how there's people, maybe it happens to us, but I know it happens in society. There's people that want things to be different, wish they were different, but they just cannot get a hold of them. It seems like they just cannot grasp and turn it into reality. And I guess as an outreach committee, it seems like our local outreach committee here, it seems like there's an increase of people that we meet with that would like things to be different. They have a crisis or a need that it's a desperate, it feels desperate, it seems desperate. And yet, sometimes it's a cycle and it just goes on and on and on. Now I trust this morning that we have, I completely know, I believe you believe as well, there's answers. And we don't have to be bogged down in despair. But yet, if we're honest with each other, I think each one of us knows the challenge that it is to find victory in some of those areas. So I'd like you turn to Psalms chapter 90, and I would just like to read through this psalm. This psalm is actually, it's Christmas time, right? And any of you get family letters? You enjoy picking up a family letter and reading a family letter or an article about a friend of yours? As I thought about Psalms 90, is it fair to say God sent us a letter? We'd like to read it this morning. It's a message to us. He wants us to learn some things. And as we read through this, I'd like to pick out a few foundational truths about God and me. Now, I'm just going to take a second. I'd just like to write some of these down. Sometimes it helps me when I write them down to remember them a little better. So, as we read through this, let's look for some foundational truths about God and me. I'm just going to say, and me, or us, whatever, in relation to us here today, each one of us. There's 4 points that I'd like to identify here as we read through this. So let's look for them, and I'm sure there's a lot more than just four. Psalms chapter 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever, thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. All right, I'd like to just jot one down there. To me, that says that God is eternal. God is eternal. God made the mountains, and he created everything, and he is from everlasting before to everlasting the other way. No beginning, no end. God is eternal. Verse 3, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are as yesterday. Whoops. Excuse me. I don't think I have my stand. Sorry about that. That's better. All right, let's read, starting at verse 4. Verse 3, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. There is a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. All right, so the second absolute truth that I would like to jot down there is, it referred to man as grass. And I just noted that I live in a mortal body, and I am accountable to God. All right, that's a truth about me. I am a mortal person. I will not be here forever, and I am accountable to God. Verse 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Now some of these overlap, but I just want to... The next point that I want to make that's to me is foundational is that God knows all about me. Or you. Us. God completely understands us. And I'm going to read through the end of the chapter there, 11 to 17. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear? So is thy wrath. Verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to thy days, wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. There's one more foundational truth that I wanted to note there. And I put it down as God is offering me God is offering me all that I need to succeed. God is offering all that I need to succeed. He's gonna provide, he provides everything that we need to succeed. All right, so I appreciated Psalms chapter 90. To me, as you come to the end of the year and you're going into a new year, it's the principles that he shares here are foundational. They're absolute. How many of us like things that are concrete and solid? Don't change. This is the way it is. I can appreciate that. And there's things that God has said in his word, and some of these points that are fixed. They don't go away and they don't change. They are what they are. Now, most of you know that I work in building as a trade. I enjoy building. I enjoy design a little bit. Definitely not an engineer, but if you want something to last, it needs to be designed in a way that'll be stronger than the forces that come upon it. Kevin designs trusses. If he designs a truss that's 80 feet wide and it only has a couple little 2x4s in it and you get a 40-pound snow on it, he's going to be replacing them. You have to build things that are stronger than the forces that come upon it. And if there was something that was missed in the design when you're building, it's going to fail when that force is applied. So, how does that apply to us? This morning, I'm not thinking about building houses or designing structures. I'm thinking about New Year's resolutions, having a burning desire to change, to do something different, to improve, to be more holy, more godly, more God-conscious. Can we make those kind of changes? Why does it seem so difficult to grow and follow through with those good intentions? A lot of us have lofty goals, sincere desires, strong determinations, and yet too often there's not lasting results. I'd like to do just a little bit of an object lesson this morning. Please, I don't want to take away from the sacredness of our worship this morning. But I have a couple of these little blocks. Children know what these are? Do you ever build things with little blocks? So I'd like to build a real little tower. We're going to just stack them on top of each other. Now to build them, they need to be square. It'd be really difficult to do this with marbles, right? You couldn't stack marbles up, but they need to be square. There's certain things, and I would like to liken this to our determination and our self, our ability in ourselves to, I'm going to do this. Do you ever have that feeling with these New Year's resolutions? We're going to make this happen. Grit your teeth, and we're gonna do this. Okay, so we start out with some nice square blocks. Now let me get a couple. I have a few here. I'm not sure how many we're going to need. Here we go. How many think we're going to get? We'll stack them up. I've just got these little blocks. Stack them on my hand. Got to be steady. What do I got? 5. There's 6. Seven. 8. I lost them. I got up to 8. That wasn't too bad, right? What's the most important part of a foundation? What's the most important part of a building? I just said it. It's the foundation. Let's do this again. One, two, three, four, that's 12, 13, I got a couple more down there. What's different about this? We can go higher than that yet, right? You know what's different? It's the foundation, right? It's what's underneath. And this morning, as I think about our New Year's resolutions, sometimes it seems like New Year's resolutions work and sometimes they don't. And I would just like to say, on a spiritual level, if there's things that you would like to accomplish and you'd like to grow in, they need to be built on the foundation, on a godly foundation. They can't be built on myself. As I think about church life, don't build on me as a brother in the church. Don't build on Reuben or John or Art. Don't build on your brothers and sisters. We need to build on the absolute foundation of God and His Word, something solid, something that doesn't change. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. I'd like you to remember that little illustration, because I think there's some practical points that we can learn from that. I have three more points. Just some practical lessons about building on the true foundation. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 7. There's three things that I would like to us to understand, and they correlate somewhat to what I already have on the board here. Practical lessons about building on the true foundation. Point number one, I'd like us to understand this. Willpower and determination cannot control and overpower sin. Willpower and determination cannot control and overpower sin. It can't be done. In Romans chapter 7, I would like to read this last part of chapter 7, verse 14 to 24. And if you want to understand this, you really have to pay attention as we read this. You've read through this before. You know what we're about to read. But I'd really like you to think about what we're reading. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. It says this: For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Each one of us have a carnal nature within us. Verse 15, For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If I then do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that do I. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I'd like to stop there. Sometimes we determine on our own strength that we are going to conquer this. We are going to get over this. I'd like to just make sure that we understand this morning that none of us are strong enough to do that on our own strength. I'm talking about spiritual growth, spiritual victory, victory over sin. We do not have it within ourselves to conquer that. And as you read down through there, Paul is clear that the things that he knows he should do, he just cannot do. And the things that he hates, I don't want to do that again. I do not want to go back there. He finds himself doing that. And it's because of our carnal nature. It's what's inside of each person, each one. Willpower and determination cannot overpower sin. Each one of us have been created with that sinful nature that's inside of us. In Romans 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All have sinned. Each one of us, every one of us. And that's what grips my heart when we meet with people from the community that have some of these difficult issues to work with. And it seems like it goes on and on. Brothers and sisters, they're trapped. They can't get out of that. They need the gospel. They need the truth. They need deliverance through Jesus. And that just grips my heart as we live here in this community. Are our eyes open? Can we see the needs that are around us? Am I willing to share and give the hope? God has created us with the power of choice, and within each of us is a conscience. And Paul talks about that when he says, "That I would do." He knows that he should do that. He knows that it's there. There's a conscience. There's a Holy Spirit that points out the sin and the wrong, and yet within himself, he cannot find the strength to do that. It doesn't matter how much power you have, how much grit you can muster, or self-confidence, self-control you can engage. Our only hope is in the power that's made available to us through God, through his word. That is our hope. Did I make myself clear? Do we understand that? That I can't do it? I need help? I need God? Sometimes I think I need to be reminded of that, because it's so easy to fall into a habit that, you know, we can handle it, we can do it. But this morning, we need God. We need his help. And that's one of the foundational truths, that I live in a mortal body, I am accountable to God, and I cannot do it without God. Point number two. Christ offers the power to conquer those sinful tendencies. So we're not done with Romans. Go to chapter 8, my favorite. You could probably quote this together. Let's read from verses 1 to 6. "There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So, first we understand that we cannot do it on our own. But just as true as that is, Christ can do it and can help us conquer these things and can help us, give us what we need to live above sin. There is a hope. There is a way. And even the things that sometimes we think are impossible, God can make possible. I must confess that there's been a time or two when visiting with folks from the community, that there's a, I guess it's my own carnality that seems like a pretty tough situation. I don't see any light at the end of that tunnel, you know, as we try to reach out and share the gospel with them. But that's not true. There is hope. There is an answer, and there is victory that's available for all, for everyone, everyone that we meet. Now, in closing this morning, perhaps it's the most important part of the message. We understand the concept that I need Christ. Within myself, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us have it within ourselves. But Jesus has all the answers. Well, that's nice. That's great. That's truth. But there's still something for us to do. How do I access the power that Christ has available for me? How do I access the power? We know that I cannot do it and that Christ can. Now the question is, this morning, how do we put it into gear? How do we make this a reality? And I'd like to borrow three, I call them keys. And as I was looking down over these, I realized that we just heard about these three keys. And I don't apologize, but I'm borrowing one from Brother Art's sermon last week and one from John Hurst's sermon on Moved with Compassion and one from Reuben when he shared on the power of a surrendered life. Three keys. How do I access the power that Christ has available for me? And Art preached that message entitled The Seven Wonders of Christ's Birth. And point number one, we can access Christ's power through faith in him. And I'd just like to think about that a little bit. If you remember Art's sermon last week, did you see Christ when he was born? The baby in the manger? Did you see that happen? The first wonder that he mentioned was the wonder of Christ's birth. And then the wonder of his life. Were you here when Jesus was here and walked on the face of the earth? And then the wonder of his death. Did you see Jesus nailed to the cross? And the truth is, we haven't. See, we believe all that by faith. We just accept that it did happen. And this morning, do you believe that Jesus can help you conquer those things in your life that you're struggling with? Do we have faith? First of all, do we have faith that God can help us? That we can have victory over some of those areas, that we can grow in holiness. Do you believe that? We can access Christ's power, first of all, through faith in him. We need faith in Jesus. And then, point number two, and again, I borrow this from John's message, Moved with Compassion. We can access the power of Christ when we're moved into action. First, it takes faith that believing that Jesus can help us, that God, that the Holy Spirit, as we look into the Word of God, there is an answer and we can overcome. And then we need to move into action. Jesus desires us through faith to believe on him and then follow with obedient actions. Sometimes there's a gospel that's preached in our communities that if you just accept Christ, Jesus comes in and gives us the power to live above sin, and then it's just a glorious experience. And we know that Jesus does give us the power to live above sin, and we can experience freedom. But then there's a walk. It's not just a happily ever after. There's a work to be done. There's a part for us to play. When Jesus was in the garden, he prayed, and we could look at that story in the Gospels. Jesus prayed that God would take this cup from him. And then he ended with, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Jesus didn't really want, he in his flesh, he didn't desire that suffering. And this morning, as I think about some of the things I would like to change, there's a natural part of me that would like those things changed without pain. Just help me to overcome that. And that's not the way it works. Are you willing to suffer, to make that change, to grow, to move forward? Are you willing to move into action and to do your part? When Jesus asked God to take the cup of suffering away, it didn't just leave. But yet Jesus moved forward with obedient action. And I ask again, are you willing to move forward in obedience as God helps you walk through the things that you would like to change? Are you willing to pay that price? Are you willing to move into action? Move into action. Point number three, the last one. I really appreciated what Brother Reuben shared on the power of a surrendered life. We can access the power of Christ by surrender to Him. I think about some of the things that I would like to be different in my life. How many of them are my own agenda? In your life, how many of those things are your, that's really what you personally would like? And I don't think there's anything wrong with personal goals at all. But are they subject to God? Is it to glorify yourself, or is it to glorify God with those things? We can access the power of Christ through surrender to Him. Jesus comes to the cross and says, "Not my will, but thine be done." And he surrenders. He gives himself up. When we, like Jesus, are willing to give up our will and let God have full control, it is then that the key is turned and the power can flow into our lives and accomplish things that we'll never be able to do on our own. Surrender is like a key. As I thought about this morning or yesterday when I was studying, you know, they're working on some of the roads around here, 10, and there's some big equipment, not huge, but big equipment that can do great things, very powerful things. But all of those things, if you take the key out of those things and you can't start them, it just sits there. It doesn't do anything. And I thought about that. Jesus has the power to help us to conquer these things, but it takes faith, and it takes obedience, and it takes surrender to stick the key in and say, "God, whatever, I just give myself to you, and allow Him to take control." And we turn that key, and then God can, His power can flow into our lives and can help us to conquer. This morning, the victory has been won, but it takes surrender on our part to be able to build and to access that victory. Are you willing to surrender the things that you really wanted to change? Are you willing to let God have His way rather than demanding your own desires? It's a question that I have, I'd like us to think about. I'd like to circle back this morning and look at the four points on the board. God is eternal. Does God change? No, He doesn't change. Can we change the rules? Can it just be different for us? And the answer is no. It's God's way. It's God's design, and our lives are ordered by God. They're orchestrated. The circumstances that we face, God allows into our experience for His glory. And some of those things we can't change. We don't have control over. Am I willing to submit myself to the eternal God? I live in a mortal body, and I'm accountable to God. God knows that our bodies are made from dust and that we face the fallen nature. Does God really understand how difficult some of these things are? Well, the answer is yes, He does. He knows our bodies, He knows how we're made, our personal tendencies, and He completely understands. And He not only knows, but He also desires to help us meet the standard that he requires us to live to. He wants to be there and help us. And point number three, God knows all about me. There's nothing that is too big for God to help me conquer. If there's something in your life that you would like, by God's grace, to conquer or to overcome, the power of Jesus has the ability to conquer that and to help overcome that. Jesus is longing to give us rest and peace from shouldering our cares alone. And number four, God is offering me all the help that I need to succeed. My mind went to Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This morning, do you want to grow? Are you willing? Are you ready to change? If you want to grow taller, higher, stronger in holiness and godliness, then we need to build on something absolute. You remember the little illustration? Don't build on things around us, but build on something solid, something that has stood the test of time, something absolute that is solid and sure. Don't build on me. Don't build on those around us. God is the only sure foundation that we can build on, and he is the only one that will remain fixed and firm. May God give us strength. Whatever you're facing, there's New Year's resolutions, keep it up. Ask God to show you what to change, and then he'll give you, rely on him, and he'll give you the strength to overcome and to be able to conquer those things. May God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer. Lord, this morning we again come before you. Thank you for knowing us. Thank you for understanding our hearts and our hearts' desires. Lord, each one of the brothers and sisters, friends that are here this morning, each one of us are living lives, in a sense, building blocks with a destination, with a path that you've called us to walk. Sometimes there's difficult things in those paths, Lord, and I just pray for each one here. We know and we claim that promise that there's no temptation taking us, but such as is common to us. And you will be there and will be able to help us through whatever we face. So we thank you for that this morning. I just pray that you would give your children, each one here this morning, that you would give them strength to reach out to you. The strength to surrender, the strength to have faith that you can conquer, and the strength to act and to do what you want each one of us to do. Father, I pray for those that are sick among us, that your healing hand would be upon them. Bless those who are traveling. Think of Art and Erla and some others. Lord, may you just be near to each one. Most of all, God, when we hear that trumpet sound, that each one of us would have our hearts in line, in obedience to what you want for our lives, so that we can stand before you and you can say well done to each one. Help us toward that end is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.